Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
All right, we are going to go straight into the Word. We're not going to mess around today. So if you have your Bibles, make sure you get your Bibles up and ready. We are going to jump into what I believe is a word that God has placed on my heart, something He has revealed in Scripture for today. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I reckon about 95% of the people sitting in this room would have experienced this when you wake up in the morning and you check your phone and there's an email that is glaring at you, and you open up that email and there's this invoice with lots of money to be paid within 14 days. Am I speaking to some people here? Yes. All of a sudden, you have this frantic feeling on the inside of you that engulfs you, a sick feeling in your gut, because you know you're not able to cover it. Anybody been there? Pauline and I have been there a number of times. You frantically go into your bank account and, yep, as you thought, there's only 99 cents left. And you've got 14 days to get to the end of the month. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I've got to pay this massive bill in 14 days with 99 cents. Help. I don't know how. This day, which would have been a beautiful day, all of a sudden turns into a bit of a nightmare. It goes from a bright, beautiful day. You know those beautiful, sunny Melbourne days, which are far and in between? Yes. Sometimes. We had a couple this week. You know, you thought that it was going to be one of those days, but all of a sudden, it seems a little bit dark and gloomy because you're a little bit heavy. Well, the Bible says to us, without Jesus, we're in the same position before God. Without Jesus, we owe a debt for our sins that we simply cannot pay. We simply cannot pay. There's nothing in our bank accounts to pay the debt that Jesus paid. Nothing that we can do. So this morning, I want us to gather at the foot of the cross. Not rushed, not distracted, but intentional. A somber moment. As we gather, we ponder. As we gather, we reflect on what He has done. What He has done. In this moment, we're remembering a circumstance, an instance, a moment that changed everything. Changed everything, changed history. That was the crucifixion of a man who 5 days earlier had entered Jerusalem as the king. In those 5 days leading up to this day, he had been ridiculed, he'd been beaten, he'd been crowned, but not with a golden crown, not with a crown with jewels, but a crown of thorns. And now, 5 days later, here is this king. Hung on a cross. The cross. The cross is an instrument of shame. The cross is an instrument of humiliation and ultimate death. The cross is a place where criminals are stripped down, exposed, lifted up, not just to suffer, but to be seen suffering. The cross, designed to break a person publicly, painfully, completely, a place where dignity was taken, where strength was diminished, where breath slowly gave way to death. And yet, the same cross, the same place of torment and horror became the place where sin was dealt with, where mercy was revealed, and where life of abundance was made available to you and I. What was meant to be a display of shame became the greatest display of love. The greatest display of love. Friends, family, if we don't truly grasp and understand what He has done for us at the cross, its power, its purpose, and what it means for our lives, what it truly means for our lives, we will not really understand what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. We won't. There's only one living God. And we are destined to be his son and his daughter. The cross was what was used to make that available, to make that even possible. And therefore, missing out on understanding, grasping what he has done for us, we miss out on embracing all that God has for us. So having said all of that, today we're not asking, what must we do? No. Today we pause at the foot of the cross to discover what he's done. So I was reading over the Easter stories throughout all the different gospels and wherever it is, and Holy Spirit highlighted something in the Gospel of John to me, which I've been pondering on since. So I want us to open our Bibles to John 19, verses 28 to 30. John 19, 28 to 30. It says this, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Holy Spirit, help us this morning to get the revelation of Jesus and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. John is very intentional with his words. Keep your Bible open. If you've got your Bible here, keep it open to there, because we're going to be looking at the different verses. But you'll find that John is very intentional with his words. One of the things that he highlighted to me here as he wrote this is the fact that Jesus is actually not a victim. He's completely in control. Allow me to explain. The first verse says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished. That word knowing is significant, deeply significant. The writer wants to make us aware that Jesus is fully aware of what's needed for the mission that needs to be completed. He is aware of what's happening in that moment. He's aware of every detail, every step, every part of the mission that the Father had given to him. Absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Knowing that everything had now been finished. We're talking about Jesus. The context is this. His body had been shredded by the Roman soldiers whipping him with a flagrum. What is a flagrum? It's a whip embedded with bone and metal. The definition of a flagrum says it's often leaving the victim severely torn and weakened. That was Jesus. Then he had to carry, we think it's a cross, but scholars believe it's the cross bar, weighing 75 to 100 pounds, about 45 kilograms, to Golgotha, falling on the cobblestones, crushing the bones in his face, so much so that they don't think there was a bone that was whole. Imagine the pain as he's nailed to the cross through his wrists and his feet, and then he's lifted up, and as he is there, he's struggling to breathe, having to pull himself up on his feet and with his wrists that are nailed, and just to breathe. But yet, John says, he was still aware of where things were at. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished. What blows my mind even further, John reveals to us in verses 28 that Jesus knew everything had now been finished. But if you read verse 30, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So everything was actually finished before Jesus breathed his last breath out. In other words, the mission was accomplished as he hung on the cross, not when he died. That was a revelation to me. The mission was accomplished as he hung on the cross, not when he died. This made me realize that Jesus giving up his spirit, which is what the scripture said, is not the moment things finally come together. Jesus giving up his spirit was only the final expression of a mission that had already been fulfilled. And you'll understand it more as we continue to unpack this. You see, when you ponder on this thought, this train of thought, all of a sudden, the cross is not a story of a life just slipping away or events spiraling out of control. No. The cross is the moment where Jesus, with full awareness and authority, brings the mission to completion. This is not chaos. This is not a tragic accident. This is the plan of God reaching its appointed moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. This is that time. We cannot miss this. This was the plan of God reaching its appointment. Friends, this is what he has done. He's done this for you and me. But we cannot miss this verse in between, because in itself there's another revelation. You see, verse 28, Jesus had said, "I thirst." And John tells us, this was to fulfill the scripture. Last week we packed out the detail on how Jesus coming in, riding on the colt of a donkey, fulfilled scripture. Here again on the cross, he's fulfilling scripture. Let's put that into our terms. So I wrote down here, Jesus knew there was one last thing to do to wrap it all up. And that was to drink the sour wine. This points to the few passages, one being Psalm 69:21, "For my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." There's a number of scriptures. I've just chosen one. For my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. So firstly, he knew that everything had now been finished. And then when he had received the drink, after he had fulfilled scripture, he speaks and says, "It is finished." So we see in all three of these scriptures, throughout his suffering, Jesus is consciously aware of requirements and the fulfilling of what was written about him. He doesn't rush. He waits. Because why? Every last detail of the mission, every prophecy, every requirement, every moment of obedience had to be completed. Here it comes. For his sacrifice to be accepted by the Father. Only then does he declare, "It is finished." His obedience. In his obedience, he was faithful to the end. Faithful to the mission, to the end. So what may seem like a small, insignificant detail when we read scripture actually shows us really what he's done. Jesus, not rushed, not out of control, not cut off mid-mission or mid-life. No. John writes in verse 30, "When he had received the drink," Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Even those words, speaks of him remaining in control. MacArthur Bible Commentary says this: "That sentence signals that Jesus handed over his spirit as an act of his will. No one took his life from him. Rather, he voluntarily and willingly gave it up." With that, after he had fulfilled, after he knew and had fulfilled scripture, by drinking the wine, the sour wine, with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What seems like a heart-wrenching chaos to us was a controlled, outworked plan of a loving Father who sacrificed his one and only Son. Jesus, ensuring that nothing is left incomplete, finishes the mission with perfection. With perfection. And then he utters one beautiful word as a sea, tetelestai. It is finished. Every detail has been completed. Tetelestai. A word that is used in the marketplace when a debt has been cleared. A word that is written across a receipt, meaning paid in full. Not reduced, not delayed, not partially covered, completely finished. Wow. Wow. So as believers, we need to ask ourselves, okay, well, what was finished? Context reminder. 5 days earlier, Palm Sunday, the Bible says multitudes were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. They expected this Messiah would come and would fix their circumstances, overthrow oppression, bring immediate change. They were wanting a king that would reshape their world. Friday, 5 days later, his own people turned against him. Jesus is on the cross. What happened? There was confusion, wrong expectation, misinterpreted scripture, not identifying the real problem, etc., etc., etc. They thought that the great issue was around them, but God knew that the greatest issue was within them. They thought that they needed rescue from Rome, but God knew they needed rescue from sin. And this is where, folks, what happened on the cross speaks the loudest. Jesus did not come to deal with surface issues. He goes to the most inner part, the heart. See, Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. That right there speaks of a substitution. Jesus is not simply suffering. He is standing in our place. He is substituting. He is releasing us so that he can stand there. Every sin, every failure, every hidden thing is placed on him. And it's on that cross. It's on that cross that the justice of God is satisfied. On the cross. It's where the justice of God is satisfied. It's on the cross that the holiness of God is upheld. It's on that cross, on that very cross, that the unending love of God is revealed. For God so loved the world that he gave. Don't know about you, but that was mind-blowing to me. On the cross. So when he utters the words, tetelestai, it is finished. He's declaring a debt has been paid for you and me. What debt? The debt of all of humanity. Your and my debt. Tetelestai, paid in full. I think he would have just, one of the scholars say it was as his breath left, it was a tetelestai. It is finished. Wow, that's a picture and a half. So folks, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for you and me? Well, first of all, you don't have to carry the guilt around in another day. You don't have to carry anything around. You see, some people woke up this morning and you felt weighed down by things of this world, but Jesus has already paid for them. The cross says, it is finished, paid in full. Secondly, you don't have to prove yourself. You know, we're in a culture where the culture constantly tells you to do more and be more. The cross speaks about you are accepted as you are because of what he's done. As you are. You sit there, you go, JJ, you don't know what I go. I don't. And I don't have to. But he does. And he has. He does and he has. He has died. He has fulfilled scripture. He has. He knew everything was right. So that there could be an opportunity for you and I to walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thirdly, you don't have to strive. This is the most beautiful thing. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive him as Lord and Savior. Instead of striving, you come to him and you find rest in Christ. Even if there's chaos out there in the world, which there is, you can still find the rest and the peace beyond all understanding in him. So folks, the invitation is simple. Come to him. Lay it down. Lay down the guilt. Lay down the striving. Lay down the weight. Stop trying to pay for what has already been paid. But I've got to do. No, you don't have to do. Just come and rest in him. You see, it's not about what you've done. And it's not about what you can do. It's about what he's done. It's about what he's done. And he didn't just do it for me. He didn't just do it for Pastor Russ. He didn't just do it for Pastor Kath. He didn't just do it for Paulina. He did it for everyone. For God so loved the world. For me, that includes every person that is breathing. He did it. He did it. Why did he do it, JJ? Because of love. Because of love. And we're not talking about the superficial love that we experience in this world. We're talking about true, genuine love. Unending. Unconditional. Unending. There's actually not a start and a stop to his love. He loved us. He formed us. He's here to have fellowship with us. He wants fellowship with you. Not a Sunday relationship, a Monday to Sunday relationship. Not just Easter or Christmas. No, no, no. 365 days of the year, for every day that you're a human being breathing on this planet, he wants relationship. He wants relationship. This is what he's done. So this morning, we're going to do things a little different. Everybody's going to participate. That freaked a couple of you out, introverts. My wife's already left the building, so to speak. But first, if I can have the team, that'll be great. Before we do anything, as a family, I want to speak to you, and I want to ask you this question. Have you yet made a decision to follow Jesus? I'm talking a full decision. I'm talking not I go to church, tick the box. I'm talking about I decide to have a relationship with him. Maybe you've been around church before. There's been something that has hurt you, someone that has hurt you. Let's be real, someone that has hurt you. And you've left and there's now been this pull to come back. Welcome back. This is where you belong. This is your family. Maybe this is all new to you. But something today has become a revelation, has become real for you. Today you've seen a different side of, wow, this wasn't just a thing to celebrate once a week, once a year, on a Sunday or an Easter or Christmas. He was actually intentional. God the Father was actually really intentional about Jesus. The message of the cross is not that you fix yourself and then come to God. The message of the cross is that Jesus has already made a way. I would not be standing here myself if he hadn't made the way. Don't cancel yourself. We have a cancel culture, unfortunately, in this world. Don't cancel yourself and don't cancel somebody else. He died for all. He died for you. He died for me. You see, he's already made a way. Tetelestai, it is finished. And so that means you can come as you are. As you are, you can come to him. So you may be here today and you've never had that invite. You've never put up your hand. You've never prayed the prayer and invited him to be Lord and Savior. Friend, today I want to invite you. It's no better day than today. It's no better day than today. Today you're not here by chance. Today you're not here by coincidence, by accident. As you know, he's a God of detail. Lots of detail. He loves you unconditionally. So I want all our heads bowed, please, just for privacy. This is not a secret agent thing. This is just for privacy, just to honor those people. Today I want, if that's you, I want to pray a prayer with you. We're all going to pray the prayer. I'm not going to get you to come out the front. I'm not going to get you to stand up. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to invite you into kingdom, to be part of his family. So if I've been speaking to you in the last 3 minutes, just if you can just raise your hand and give me a wave so I can see it, that'll be amazing. On my left, anyway, on my left here, just raise your hand, give me a wave. If you would like to pray that prayer today and receive Jesus, anybody in the middle? Anybody in the middle that says, today I want to give my heart to you, Lord. Today I want to invite you. I need all believers praying quietly. Anybody in the middle? We're not going to rush this because this is a God moment. If your heart is beating a million miles an hour and your hands are all sweaty, then God's touching you. God's speaking to you. So just give me a quick wave. Quick wave. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I really feel that there is somebody in this place. I do sense that. And I'm not just saying that. But that's okay. We respect and we honor you. But we're still going to pray the prayer. And I'd love you to pray the prayer. We're all going to pray the prayer. Even the team's going to pray the prayer on their microphones as well. So we will drown you out. We're going to pray this prayer today, and I believe that today there is going to be an encounter that you're going to have with our living God. And I want to say to that person that's maybe walked through the doors for the first time in a while, there's no guilt and there's no shame. Actually, we're going to come and put the guilt and the shame at the foot of the cross. Next, that's what we're going to do. But can we all just pray? Believers, I need you praying nice and loud. Pray after me, Jesus. Come on, we can do better. Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I believe you took my place. I bring my sin, my guilt, my past. I lay it at your feet. Today I choose you, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. I trust that what you finished is enough for me. From this day forward, I put my life in your hands and declare you are Lord over it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time or just renewed yourself, something really real has happened in this place. I say to the family, the supernatural is more real than the natural because God created man. God was there first. Something really special has happened today in your life. Please don't go home alone. Come and find myself, find Pastor Russ. We'll be in the foyer. We won't be down the front this morning. We'll be in the foyer. Come and find us. We'd love to put a Bible in your hand, even if it's discreetly. We'd love that. Amen. Right, family. We're not going to rush this moment. We've got plenty of time this morning. I've done well. We've done well as a team. You see, it's not about moving quickly. It's about seeing clearly. Because what we've just heard about the words of Jesus is, it is finished. And I believe for many people in this room, this isn't just something to understand. It's something to respond to. Something to respond to. So for a moment, we've got our team. Our team are going to come and minister in song. Across this place, I want to invite you to become still before God. Don't worry about the kids. Don't worry about your husband that's maybe snoring next to you or your wife. I want you to really become still before God. And if it helps, I want you to close your eyes and open your hands, because just that posture says, I'm here and I'm listening. Can we just really honor the moment? Nobody walking around. I really believe God is going to do something significant right here. I believe the Holy Spirit is gently putting His finger on things in your heart, on your heart right now. But again, it's not to condemn you, it's to invite you. To invite you to come and lay it at the cross. Some of you have been listening and you become aware of things you've been carrying for years, for a day, for an hour. You've been carrying this guilt, shame, condemnation. But you know what? He paid the price. It is finished. The cross speaks to this, not with pressure, not with demand, but with this one declaration. He has done it. It is finished. So before we go any further, I want to give you a space to respond personally. On your seat, when you arrived, you would have found a blank piece of paper. It's not there by accident. You most probably picked it up, looked at it, and thought, what is this all about? Well, this is what it's all about. Because you're going to allow Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that you have been carrying all these years, or for the past hour or past week. And you're going to write that on that piece of paper. We're going to move the cross. I'm going to put the cross right here. And then what I want us to do is, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the middle of the row, don't be robbed, right? But come and lay it at the feet of the cross. I'm calling this moment the exchange. You come in and lay in whatever it is at the feet of the cross. And then on the sides, we're going to have communion baskets. You're going to pick up your communion element. You're leaving it at the cross, and you're taking something that He has paid for you back to your seat. And when we're all done, we're going to take communion together. Is that okay? So just close your eyes. If you need a pen, just subtly just raise your hand, and we've got a team that will bring a pen around. Just quietly. If our ushers can do that discreetly, that'll be great. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Maybe there's guilt over past mistakes. Maybe there's hidden sin or addictions, anger, unforgiveness. Maybe you have been walking with anxiety or heaviness, depression, burnout, loneliness, rejection, insecurity. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Maybe you even say these words, God could not love me. I want you to come and lay that lie at the cross. Maybe you have wounds from past hurts, betrayal, broken relationships, church hurt, grief, loss. Maybe you feel this pressure to perform. Maybe you feel you need to strive to be accepted. Come and lay that lie at the cross. Maybe there's financial stress. Simple as financial stress. Maybe there's relationship issues with your siblings or your parents. Maybe there's unforgiveness you've been carrying. Maybe at this point in time, there's a spiritual barrier. You feel far from God. You feel disappointed in God. You are angry with God. Hello, it's okay to be angry with God. I have been angry with God many times in my life. But today, I want you to come and exchange that. I want you to come and lay that at the foot of the cross. So write that down. Write it, whatever, it might not even be one thing. It could be a number of things. Fold it up. And as the team come and minister to us and sings this song, I want you to feel free to get up. Come and lay it first at the cross. As remember, it's an exchange. It's an exchange. You're laying it at the cross. You're leaving it there. And then you're taking communion. Because his body was broken and his blood was shed for you. Thanks, team.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.